Thank you, Barrett. I encourage you to take a Bible and to open to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to start with a text there for our lesson this morning. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. In this very epistle in the book of Hebrews, over in chapter 13, the Lord has promised, as recorded in the last part of verse 5 there, the promise, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a great source of encouragement to all of us, that the Lord promises that He will be with us. However, the Hebrew writer here in the text that we began with in chapter 3 warns that we can be guilty, warns that there is a danger that we can depart from the living God. I want us to think a little bit about that as it relates to our life, because contrary to what some will teach in the religious world, at birth, we are one with God. We are in a relationship with Him. We have not inherited the sin of our ancestor Adam, and as a result, in birth, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, when Jesus there is teaching the kind of attitude and disposition that His disciples should have, He teaches that we must be converted and become like little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. But the Bible teaches, and a little bit earlier, even in the book of Hebrews here, it describes the fact that this changes when we become away from Him by going astray. You may remember in Isaiah chapter 53, that beautiful chapter that so poignantly describes the death of Jesus and what it accomplished. Why is it that His atonement was needed? Because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Yet the Bible teaches that we can be brought back to Him by turning to God through the gospel. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, when the Apostle Paul has the opportunity to speak before King Agrippa, he describes his conversion to Christ, and he describes the role that the Lord had assigned him to teach the gospel. And as he summarizes what that involves, he describes it as teaching people to repent and turn to God and do works befitting repentance. Now, in the text that we began with that warns about the idea that we can depart from God, I call to your attention the fact that this is a warning given to those who have, through the gospel, already turned to God. And He warns them not to depart. In that same chapter, look back in verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 3, and this becomes very evident. We're not talking about those that have not obeyed the gospel. We're talking about those, notice the way they're described, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Now, that brings it close to home, doesn't it? Because that should urge you and I who have obeyed the gospel, you and I who consider ourselves to be Christians, we need to heed and listen to this warning and make certain that we do not depart from God. I want us to recognize that this is a danger. There are dangers that are connected with this. In fact, the Bible makes this clear. Over in Matthew chapter 13, if you turn with me over to this text, in the explanation that our Lord gives of the parable that He tells of the wheat and the tares, I want us to just read a portion of that explanation. As we read in Matthew chapter 13, verse 41 and 42, it says, "The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Now, in this explanation, we understand that Jesus says the field is the world. Does that mean that the world is composed of everyone that acknowledges the authority and kingship of Jesus? You know, the church is one way of describing that relationship. Well, it is talking about the jurisdiction. So all within the world are accountable to, should obey Jesus as king. But, you know, there are some that would argue that, well, once you're in that relationship, you can't ever be out of that relationship, and that just doesn't mesh with what Jesus teaches here, does it? Because here we see that even from the kingdom, even within that jurisdiction, if he finds those that are not yielding to him as king, they can be cast out. The Bible makes it very clear that people can forget God. Now, that may seem like kind of a strange way to think of it, but is that not what happens if we pull ourselves away from God? In the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32, there a comparison is made. Israel is compared to the virgin and to the bride, and the way in which a bride wouldn't think of going into a marriage wedding ceremony and forget her veil and her dress, and yet he describes that Israel has forgotten God. In Psalm 9 and verse 17, there it describes the nations that forget God, and it describes their fate, and it speaks of them being cast into or returning to, the New American Standard will put it, and the New King James will translate it, hell. Now, we remember that in the Old Testament, it will use the word Sheol for the place of the dead. But there are even times in which, while I don't think the Hadean realm or Sheol is describing final eternal punishment, but sometimes it is used as sort of a figure of judgment. And so I think the editors of the New King James probably rendered it that way to show in the verses before that it describes God executing his judgment on the wicked. To forget God means that we can face him in judgment and be condemned. Turn over, if you would, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. And I'd like us to notice in 2 Peter chapter 2, we're talking about a real danger. And I know we have friends that would argue and would try to suggest to us that, you know, don't worry, it's not even possible for one who's accepted the grace of God to depart from God so that they forfeit that grace. I want you to notice what Peter says here. In fact, he describes it as having been better not to have known the way of truth. Now, think with me about that. The Holy Spirit here is describing a condition in which it would have been better for you not to have even known the way of salvation than having known it to reject it. Now, does that sound like it's not even possible for us to forfeit our relationship with God and depart from him? Listen to what the text says. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. This is a real danger. The Bible makes it very clear that there will be those who will depart from the faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, and of course we understand that we've been living in latter times since the first century, in latter times some will, the text tells us, depart from the faith Now, some might say, well, okay, just to leave a certain faith or mindset or doctrine, that's one thing. No, we need to understand that is the same as the Hebrew writer warns, departing from God, if we depart from His teaching, if we depart from His doctrine. And over in Galatians, it makes it just crystal clear. I was in the region of Galatia. There were several churches in that region, and this book is directed to the churches in that area, and they seem to have had a problem early in the chapter. We'll look at a text a little bit later in chapter 1. It describes them departing and going to a different gospel. Now, what that seems to involve is they were leaning back towards the old law. Some of that may have involved circumcision. They were saying, well, you got to be circumcised and then obey the gospel. But all of that is described as a departure from the gospel. And in chapter 5, verse 4, it speaks of those who were seeking to be justified by the law. And as it's being used there, I don't think it's talking about the gospel. It's not talking about the law of Christ. It's talking about going back to Mosaic law and viewing it that they could be justified before God by keeping Mosaic law. And you know what it says? You who seek to be justified by the law have fallen from grace. It is possible to depart from God. It is possible to fall from grace. Well, if we recognize that danger, why does this happen? How could it be that having come to partake of this heavenly calling, as we read earlier, how could it be that we could ever come to the point in which we would want to move away from God, depart from God, forget God? Well, there are several reasons that it can happen. It can happen sometimes as the result and the influence of false teachers. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and remember the warning that John, through the Holy Spirit, offers to us in this first verse of John chapter 4, where there, through the Holy Spirit, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." In our 9 o'clock lesson this morning, we talked about a revolutionary teaching. And I'll tell you, we live in a world in which, whether we're talking about that teaching, the Lord's teaching on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, or other kinds of things that the world wants to reject, you're going to find teachers that are going to say, it's okay. Go ahead, violate what the Word of God says, and you'll be all right. We can depart from God if we heed those spirits and don't test them whether they are of God or not. Notice, many false prophets have gone out into the world. I could be a false prophet. If I began to teach those things that are just what I like, that are popular, that sound good, but don't mesh with what the Word of God says. Go to Galatians chapter 1. I mentioned just a moment ago in Galatians that we are addressing those that were turning back to the law of Moses, maybe especially as it pertains to circumcision. Now, we hear that and we think, okay, well, that doesn't seem like it's that serious, does it? You know, it's still religious. It's still something that's giving honor to God. I want you to notice the way that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, describes what that means. And as we think about, I want to make certain that I don't depart from God. I want to make certain that I don't heed that which is error, so that I depart from God. Let's read it together. Galatians 1, beginning in verse 6. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Did you catch that? He describes this return back to Mosaic law, this return back to elements of Mosaic law as a different gospel. Now, I tell you, friends, if that is a different gospel, What are we talking about when we're talking about what we may see today, in which people will offer ways to salvation that have nothing to do with what you can read about in Scripture, or ways in which you can live your life, engage in relationships, do and practice certain things, or worship God that have nothing to do with what we can read about in the Bible? Is that not a different gospel? Notice, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Those are strong words. Why is it that people depart from God? Well, sometimes it comes simply because of overconfidence. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26, it says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." Now, I thought about that text, and there are a number of ways in which I think we can understand that. If I am so convinced that I will stay faithful, that I'm just trusting in my own heart and I'm not trusting in the Lord, that's foolish, isn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says, "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." But you know, there's another way that text in Proverbs could be understood as well. He who trusts in his own heart. If I'm just going by what feels good to me, if I'm just going by what my heart thinks rather than what I find within the Word of God, that can lead me to depart from God. But I can depart from God as well if I fall too much in love with this world. Go to Matthew chapter 6 with me. Matthew chapter 6. And let's look together in Matthew chapter 6 at verse 24. Jesus is going to use a word that we don't use commonly, but it is the word mammon. And if I understand it correctly, it's speaking of material things and wealth and money as if it were a person. And it is as if we are worshiping and serving that person of material things. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." We've all got to work jobs. We've all got to live in homes. We've all got to pay our bills. We've got to purchase food for our bodies. All of that is necessary. But it can be that we put such an emphasis on the things that have to do with mammon, that have to do with the things that are temporary and material in nature, that we neglect the things that are spiritual, and we depart from God. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want you to notice with me a warning that's given. And I think this is, while it's given to those under Mosaic law, and it is describing their faithfulness to the Lord's covenant with them under the law of Moses, it has application to us today because it speaks to some real dangers that can lead us, if we're not careful, to depart. Let's listen to what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 8, begin in verse 11. "Beware that you do not," notice, "forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today." Now, again, those specifics of Mosaic law would have been different for them, but does not the principle apply to us? Should we not remember and listen to what Christ teaches us under the law of Christ and the gospel? Yes. Notice verse 12. "Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." I want you to notice, yes, we weren't delivered from Egypt. We were delivered from bondage to sin. Yes, we're not being brought into a new promised land like the Israelites were, but There has never been a time in which people have lived more affluently than even the poorest of our citizens in the United States do today. Do you think there are ever those times in which we've got it so good? And you may say, wait, preacher, you don't know the troubles I know. We've all got our handful of troubles, but we also have so many blessings from the Lord. And if we're not careful, we can allow those blessings to make us so enamored with the things of this life that we do the very thing they are being warned about. Our heart is lifted up. We forget the Lord. He doesn't leave us, but we depart from Him. Another reason that this can happen too is because of persecution or hardship. In Matthew chapter 13, we have another explanation there in Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, as it pertains to parable of the sower. You'll remember the sower sows seed and it falls on different types of ground. Well, the stony ground here is one who it begins to grow, but it doesn't have much depth. And notice, in time of tribulation or persecution, it fails to grow. That can happen to us. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 12 through 13, there it describes those that when the love of lawlessness begins to grow, the love of many will grow cold, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Now, I understand in that context, we try to figure out, all right, is this destruction of Jerusalem? Is this final judgment? Which actually, I think many of the words that are given there in Matthew 24 and 25 are offered to give warning and caution for service and faithfulness generally. We're not careful. We can let difficulties in life lead us to think differently about our service to the Lord. You know, it's easy sometimes when things are going good to serve the Lord. You know, we just looked at the caution of things are too good, so I depart. Well, sometimes we'll do it so long as things don't get too difficult. Then we start to blame God. Or we'll do it so long as we don't get any pushback from our friends, our coworkers, or the world around us. Friends, we are looking at a time in which we better strengthen ourselves because we may be facing serious pushback. We may be facing deadly persecution. Are we ready for that, or will we depart from the Lord? Will we fear man rather than God? Over in Matthew chapter 10, in this chapter, Jesus is giving some specific instructions to the 12 and some of the things that they're going to endure. But I call to your attention a statement that he makes in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You see, Jesus talks about how you can get your perspective mixed up if you're not careful. We can become so concerned that people will laugh at us. We can be so concerned that people will shun us, won't want to have anything to do with us, if we really stand by what Jesus says and what Jesus teaches. I realize that that's not a pleasant thing. But see, the perspective we need to have is whose approval? We talked Wednesday night about we all want approval. Whose approval do we want more? Do we want the approval of God, or do we want the approval of men? Turn over to John chapter 12 with me for a moment. John chapter 12 is a sad text because it describes some who came to understand clearly who Jesus was. And in fact, we talk sometimes about, well, is it faith alone, or must it be followed up with obedient works? Well, let's look at that in this text because it describes not partial belief, or not they really never believed to begin with. It describes some that believed in him. But what was the problem? Read with me. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. Now, what do you think that means? It doesn't use the term fear, but I think that's what underlies the idea. They believed in him, but the Pharisees prevented them because they wanted to stand right. Notice it goes on to say, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Now, what was their problem? They believed in him, so everything should have been fine, right? Well, yes, we must believe. But that belief, just like we noticed in Acts chapter 26 earlier, we must do works befitting repentance. We must repent and turn to God. That's not something that just happens in the mind. That's not something that just happens in the heart. Verse 43, notice, they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. We will depart from God if we have more of a concern with pleasing men than we do God. But then, lastly, notice that this can happen as well. And the text that we began with, go back to Hebrews chapter 3, and I want us to remind ourselves of how that verse ended. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. Remember, it described there, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Then verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. What does that mean? Sin is something that promises an awful lot in our lives, isn't it? It's something that tells us that, you know, if you just do this, you'll really be happy. If you do this, this is the way life is really to be lived. Paul, over in Romans chapter 7, when he's talking about the process of sin, and he's talking about how God's law relates to that, he's dealing with the fact that, you know, before we knew God's law, maybe we weren't even tempted to do certain things. But when we learn this is something we're forbidden to do, then we're enticed into doing it. And in the process of that, Paul says that sin deceives us. You know, in our world today, it's not much different than was recorded in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. We've got an awful lot of people that call evil good and good evil. They're going to tell us that what the Bible says is wrong, that's the best thing you ought to do. That's really good. And you'll have people that will say, well, what the Bible says is good. No, you shouldn't do that. Don't be at church on Sunday. There are plenty of other things you could do. They'll call evil good and good evil. That's deceptive. And I want us to understand, when we do that, when we give into that, it will lead us to depart from God. Well, if we understand these dangers and we have considered just a few of the reasons this can happen, I think we also need to understand what the consequences are if we allow this to happen. Remember, God's not going to leave us, but we can depart from the living God. If you go back to Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 3, a little bit before the text that we looked at, I want you to notice that the Hebrew writer will use in Hebrews chapter 3 an illustration of Israel. And in verses 10 and 11, what were the consequences for those in Israel when they departed from God? Listen to what the text says, Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go, notice, astray, just like we observed at the beginning, in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Now, in the context, the rest he's talking about is the promised land. You remember they'd been delivered out of Egypt. They wandered in the wilderness. They come to the promised land. And yet, because of their unfaithfulness and their disbelief in God being able to do what he promised he could do, they're not allowed to enter. What a serious thing. What a sad thing that those that had been delivered out of Egypt could not go into Canaan. But I want you to notice that the Hebrew writer uses this as a figure to try to help us understand some things. If we read further from the text that we began with in 12 and 13, go over into chapter 4 and notice with me the first verse. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Go down to verse 11, and I want you to notice what this is talking about. Verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. The Lord wants us to understand that what befell the Israelites can happen to us. If we forget God, the same way they were not allowed to go into Canaan, we can be deprived and kept out of heaven. That's the lesson to us. And that's the reason we need to make certain that we do not depart from the living God. Why do we do a lesson like this? Well, I would hope that those of you who are here this morning, that's not true in your life. But you know, it's not something in which we can go, well, I know that it never happened to me. I know that it never happened to you. Friends, it is easy to drift away from God. It happens every day. It happens all over the world. It happens to Christians that we never would have guessed that it could happen to. It is easy to allow life to lead us to forget God. And so far as I can see, the only things that we can do to make certain that that doesn't happen is to be on guard, to think about it, to be warned about it, to listen to these warnings. Now, we've emphasized throughout, and I want us to really get the force of this, God won't leave us. Now, we mentioned one of those issues that sometimes can lead us to depart, and that is hardship. I know there may be times that we go through things that we feel like, where is God in all of this? Why has he allowed me to go through this? He's with you as you go through that difficulty. He won't leave us, but we must make certain that we do not depart from him. We must stay close to God's word. We must stay close to his people in order to avoid this. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would urge you this very day to put your faith in Jesus as the Son of God. Have the courage to confess that faith before those who are assembled here. Repent of sin that separates you from God, and we'd be delighted this morning to baptize you into Christ for the remission of sins. If as a child of God, as we've considered this warning from the Hebrew writer not to depart from the living God, if that's a problem in your life, I hope that these words hit deeply into your heart and you'll recognize that warning. And you'll realize that one of the privileges that we have is we have brothers and sisters in Christ that want to see each other go to heaven. We're not here to shame anyone. We're here to pray for one another. We're here to strengthen one another. And if we can help you, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.